Eternal Father, as we open Thy Word, we open our minds and our souls as open windows to let the light and the freshness of heaven shine into our beings. May Thy good Spirit bless and direct our thoughts this hour, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our character to be studied carefully now is Iddo, the prophet Iddo. In 2 Chronicles chapter 9, we are told about him. 2 Chronicles 9, verse 29. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, first and last, are they not written in the book of Iddo the seer, in the visions of Iddo the seer, against Jeroboam the son of Nebat? Now he collaborated with Nathan and Ahijah, but he had visions. The visions of Iddo, written down in a book concerning Solomon and against Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Chapter 12 of 2 Chronicles, verse 15. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam, are they not written in the book of Shemaiah the prophet and of Iddo the seer, concerning genealogies? 13:22. And the rest of the acts of Abijah, and his ways, and his sayings, are written in the story of the prophet Iddo. Now these three verses give to us the opening idea into what this man did. Firstly, the visions of Iddo, the seer, against the son of Nebat, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. The next one, he wrote a book concerning genealogies as he followed through Rehoboam. Thirdly, acts, ways, sayings are written in the story of the prophet Iddo. Now he's called a seer and he's called a prophet. Now a seer is one who looks into the future, almost exclusively. A prophet has got many, many other tasks. You remember the Lord told Elijah, you take oil and you go and anoint Hazael to be king of Syria. Now it might come as a surprise, and it came as a surprise to me the first time I thought about it, that these prophets of God's people had all kinds of jobs to do outside God's people. And once you get the idea, you can top them up without any trouble. You read the prophecy of Obadiah. It was exclusively against Edom. Nahum the prophet was sent to Nineveh. Jonah the prophet was sent to Nineveh. That's three out of the 12 minor prophets. The major ministry of Daniel was in Babylon, with Nebuchadnezzar and Darius and Cyrus and these kings. He moved in high circles. And you can look in Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Jeremiah, as well as Amos. And you can get many messages sent to Egypt, Edom, Philistia, Moab, Ammon, Syria, Tyre, Sidon, Babylon. All the nations round about. So a prophet has many other functions. He anoints priests. He anoints kings. He helps organize, as Gad did and Nathan did. But a seer is one who looks into the future. Now in 2 Chronicles 13:22, written in the story of the prophet. Now this story is the Hebrew word midrash. In the Talmudic literature, the writings of the rabbis, there are many midrashim. They are explanations with illustrations. And the illustrations contain sometimes stories, anecdotes. In the Talmud, you can get anything. There are jokes and comic things. In fact, you can get books, the humor of the Talmud. All sorts of things in them. So he wrote a midrash. He tells the story, the history, and then he comments. And there are some translations that translate that as the commentary of the prophet Iddo. He wrote genealogies. Now what is the point of the genealogies that came from David and Solomon and Rehoboam down? To pinpoint the Messiah. Matthew chapter 1 gathers together the genealogies and proves that legally Jesus Christ was from Abraham and David. That he had the legal basis of claiming to be Messiah. Long ago, Iddo did special studies in genealogies. Now this is an interesting sort of author. We're not told anything about him yet, but we're told what he did. He was a writer of books. He wrote a genealogy. He was an expositor. He wrote a commentary on the meaning of the life and the ways of Abijah. Now you take the books of Kings and the books of Chronicles. Two books of Kings and two books of Chronicles. They are very similar, but they're not the same. Kings tells you what happens. Chronicles tells you why it happened. It gives you the philosophy of history. And it was men like Iddo that were interested in the philosophy, in the commentary. Kings tells you that when the ark came back on the oxen and they trembled, that one who was steering them touched the ark and was killed. Uzzah. Chronicles looks into it and tells you what happened. They sought God not after the due order. They didn't follow the directions given in the books of Moses as to how the ark should be handled by the priests only. Chronicles tells you. It's men like Iddo that look into those and tell you what happened. Josephus, in his book, in his volume, Antiquities. Now Josephus was a Jewish scholar and general. Some Jews didn't appreciate him very much because he was pro-Roman. And he describes the fall of Jerusalem, AD 70. He was a Jewish general. He wrote a history of the Jewish people in many, many books that are divided for the reader into books, chapters, and sections. And he also wrote another volume on the walls, and then had a few appendices. Now in his book, in his volume, Antiquities, Book 8, Section 9, Part 1, and Book 8, Section 8, Part 5, he tells us that a prophet in 1 Kings 13, who is not named, was actually Iddo. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1, "And there came a man of God out of Judah, by the word of the Lord, unto Bethel." And Josephus tells us that this man of God was none other than Iddo. Time-wise, no problem. And I am inclined to believe Josephus calls him Iddo. Now, why did he come up to Bethel? We are already told that he was against the son of Nebat. He was against Jeroboam. Now, Jeroboam was a charismatic leader. He was a servant of Solomon. He worked for Solomon. Solomon saw the brilliant man he was. But he, Jeroboam, did not agree with everything Solomon was doing. Solomon was very extravagant. He did many things that were wrong. Introduced idol worship, had many, many wives, was thinking nothing but the pleasures of the moment. And Solomon got angry with him, and so Jeroboam fled into Egypt. And as soon as Solomon died, the people really wanted David's descendant to be king. His name was Rehoboam, his grandson. But they didn't like the way Solomon had acted. So they had a mass meeting, and they made a petition to Rehoboam, "Cut the taxes. We don't want the size of army we've got. We don't need the building program that we've got here. You're milking us of all the money that we can gather together. You treat us with respect, and we'll serve you." And the elderly statesman said, "Go ahead, go along with them. It's obvious Solomon has not done things that are right." But Rehoboam consulted with the younger men, who said, "Don't let them get away with this." He came back 3 days later with a speech. "You think Solomon was rough? Well, let me tell you, my little finger is going to be heavier than Solomon's thigh." And Jeroboam led the people to your tents, O Israel. Every man go to his own tent. And with that division that had taken place, the 10 tribes went with Jeroboam to the north, and 2 tribes stayed with Rehoboam in Jerusalem. Now Jeroboam was shrewd. He saw that 3 times a year, at the Passover and at Pentecost and at the Feast of Tabernacles, all the men of the 10 tribes would still want to go back to Jerusalem to worship. So he says, "I'm going to start worship on my own." And so in Samaria and Bethel, he made a different sanctuary. He was going to have the feasts come to Samaria and not to Jerusalem. Now he needed priests. And he called upon the priests who were living in his realm, "You come and serve me," but they wouldn't. And so he hired priests of his own, bad men. He knew that the prophetic gift was down in Judah, and so he hired false prophets. And he started a false kind of worship with a false sanctuary and false priesthoods and false festivals and false prophets. He was trying to wean the people away. You don't want to go walking down to Jerusalem when you've got a temple here next door. And he built an altar at Bethel. And Iddo was given the word of the Lord, and he says, "You go to Bethel and you talk to Jeroboam." Verse 1, "Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And Iddo cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, saying, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, a child shall be born unto the house of David, his rival down south, Rehoboam, Josiah by name. And upon thee, this altar, shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon, and men's bones shall be burnt upon it. And Iddo gave a sign right there. This is the sign which the Lord had spoken. The altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings 23. Verses 15 and 16. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both the altar and the high place Josiah brake down, burned the high place, stamped it small to powder, burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchre that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres, burned them upon the altar, and polluted it, according to the word of the Lord, which the man had proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. When he said, then Josiah said, what title is that that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulchre of the man of God which came from Judah, and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. And Josiah said, let him alone. Let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. That grave was the grave of Iddo. Here, 300 years later, Josiah did exactly what Iddo predicted. Now let's go back to 1 Kings 13, verse 4. And when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he had cried against the altar at Bethel, that he stretched forth his hand from the altar and said, lay hold on him. And his hand which he set forth dried up, that he couldn't draw it back again. And the altar was rent, just as Iddo had said. And the king said to the man of God, Iddo, I entreat thee now, in the face of the Lord thy God, pray for me, that my hand may be restored. And the man of God besought the Lord, and his hand was restored again, and it became as it was. Now Jeroboam takes a different attitude towards Iddo. And the king Jeroboam said to Iddo, come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the prophet says, no, I'm not allowed to. God told me to come to Bethel, to preach against the altar, to make the prediction, and not to eat and not to drink and not to stay there, but to go home another way. Verse 10, so he went away another way from Bethel. That's chapter 1. He did everything right. The Lord prospered him. Iddo believed. He trusted. Fearlessly he went up to Bethel. He denounced the king who was ready to arrest him and kill him. God worked two miracles. Broke the altar, dried up Jeroboam's arm, and then restored it to give courage and confidence. So that Iddo would believe that what God had told him that he ought to do. Verse 11, chapter 2 in this story, 1 Kings 13:11. Now there dwelt an old prophet at Bethel. Now this prophet was a false prophet. He was a liar. He was living in Bethel. And he had some sons who came back to lunch and told their dad everything that had happened with Iddo and Jeroboam about the altar and the offering of incense and the predictions that had been made and the withered hand and everything connected with it. And also that this prophet gone back down south from Bethel towards Jerusalem. And the father said to them, verse 12, which way did he go? And they told him. And he says, now saddle me a donkey. I'm going to follow after. So they brought a donkey and saddled it. The old man got on this donkey and went trotting on down to catch up with Iddo. And he found Iddo sitting under a tree. Under an oak tree, verse 14. And said to him, are you the man of God that just came up? He says, I am. And he said to me, come home with me and eat bread. And Iddo says to him, I may not return with thee, nor go with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in the place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt not eat bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And this old man, this false prophet, said to him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And the Lord said to me, bring him back with thee to thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. He lied to him. Verse 19, and so Iddo turned round and went back with this lying prophet. And he had a meal, washed himself, drank water, went to the prophet's home. Everything directly opposite to the personal testimony that he had received. And then while they were at table, in verse 20, the word of the Lord came to the prophet that brought him back. God used this liar. And he cried unto the man of God from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, has not kept the commandment which the Lord commanded thee, but came back, hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord said not to, eat no bread nor drink water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass that after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, saddled him an ass, sent him back. And when Iddo was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way. And the ass stood by it. And the lion stood by the carcass. And as the people passed by, they saw. And they went and told in the city. And when the prophet that brought him back, his false lying prophet, heard it, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient to the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord delivered him into the hand of the lion, which had slain him, according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him. He said to his son, saddle me the ass. And he rode on the ass till he came down the road, and there he saw it. Saw the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor killed the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God, laid it upon the ass, brought it back, and the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, mourned over him. 300 years later, Josiah found that sepulcher and didn't destroy it, even though Iddo was disobedient. Now this is an interesting story. It's got many overtones that we could think of for ourselves. In the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour. Now the word sober means to keep a balanced point of view. That our thoughts and actions should not be flighty. Tossed to and fro. Moved by this opinion and that opinion. You know, when we go by other people's opinions sometimes, we're so confused we don't know whether we're going up or down or sideways or backwards or frontwards. You talk to somebody, he says, oh no, don't do it. Talk to somebody else, oh that's great, go ahead and do it. Talk to somebody else and say, well, I think I'd look for it. You talk to the fourth person and they say, you know, if I had that opportunity, I wouldn't even stop to consider it. I'd go. What are you going to do? You ever had that experience? Now here was a man. God had used him. God had given visions. He had the spirit of prophecy. He could see into the future. He could analyze the story of Solomon and of Rehoboam and Abijah. He could write commentaries on it. He knew the genealogies. He could work out the descent of Jesus Christ and record those segments of his own time to fit into the final mosaic. God says, you go up to Bethel. Goes up and does a tremendous job. Fearlessly. Stands up before the king in his own pet desire, his design. This offer, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't offer incense. You shouldn't make this altar. He's ready to be arrested. And there was stretched out, pointing him out, withered. And he prayed, and God answered prayer. Wouldn't you think, with all that evidence, the Lord was on his side? And when the Lord says, when you've done your job, don't loiter around, don't eat or drink, don't stay, go back another way. And he starts back. And now somebody comes to him. He doesn't know this person, and the person doesn't know him. But this false prophet sees him sitting under an oak tree eating his lunch, resting himself. He says, are you the man that came from Judah into Bethel against the altar? He says, yeah. Now he didn't know him. He has a stranger come. And the stranger says, I've got the spirit of prophecy too. And I've just had special insight to invite you home. Come, refresh yourself. Now, he didn't do what 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says. Beloved, believe not all the spirits, but try the spirits. Many false Christs, many false prophets. Now here was a prophet. Remember what Paul said? I keep my body under lest when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. See, that was a prospect he had. Now Edo had preached to others, he had had visions of the future, he had visions of Christ, he had done his work, he had written his commentaries, he had his genealogies, he had given his personal testimony to Jeroboam. Done it all. And God at every stage had supported him. Now he's carried away by this first stranger that comes, making all kinds of claims. And I think, I'm not sure of course, but that when Peter talks about our adversary being a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour, and advises us to be sober and vigilant, he might have had this foolish Edo in his mind. Don't have your mind flighty and tossed away with everyone who comes to you. Think soberly. Review. You've got enough experiences in your backlog to know God's guidance. You know, we sing that hymn, Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. I do that many times in my life. You know, you come to a quandary, you come to a problem, you come to an uncertainty. What am I going to do? Maybe financial. How am I going to pay for this? Then you look back. Some of us have got longer memories than others. Look back. 5 years. 10 years. 20 years. 40 years. Did God take care of you before? Well, just go stand in the mirror. I can't see a single person in front of me who looks anywhere malnourished. Nobody here is suffering from malnutrition. I can't see anyone here shivering in rags. You look comfortable, relaxed, well-fed, well-dressed. God's kept you. You don't have to sleep under a hedge. Jesus did. When you finish sleeping under a hedge and wake up next morning, where do you take your shower? Jesus didn't have a water pick. What did he do? If nobody asked him home, what did he do? Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. Son of man, nowhere to lay his head. At the end of the day, it says the people went back to their homes and Jesus went up to the mountain. He had nowhere else to go. Nobody asked him for supper. Nobody asked him home to bed. Look back over our lives. We haven't had to go the route Christ went. God, who has answered our prayers and supplied us, is not going to let us down. So all he had to do is to review. He says, when I left Judah, the Lord gave me this commission. Everything that he said would happen, happened. Now why didn't he tell me? Why did he bring this stranger here? The man of God had been fearless in delivering his message of rebuke. He had not hesitated to denounce the king's false system of worship. He had refused Jeroboam's invitation even though promised a reward. But he allowed himself to be over-persuaded by one who claimed to have a message from heaven. When the Lord gives a man a command such as he gave this messenger, he himself must countermand the order. Upon those who turn from the voice of God to listen to counter orders, the threatened evil will come. Because the messenger obeyed false orders, God permitted him to be destroyed. That's Bible Commentary, Volume 2, page 1033 by Ellen White. And as we think of this man with his responsibilities, how he allowed himself to be deflected, tells us that even though the prophetic gift is given, human judgment must be carried through. And I think of the many times Ellen White was advised and requested and suggested that she change. The Lord has given me. I can only say what the Lord says. I can only do what the Lord wants him to do. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. He's going about seeking whom he may devour. God has given to us direct messages, endorsed by circumstances, fitted internally by the still small voice of the Spirit that has brought us conviction. Stabilized and strengthened by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has brought us to this hour. Let us be vigilant. The word is wide awake. Let us be sober, thinking carefully, balanced, weighing up pro and con. For our adversary, this word means one who in court of law trying to accuse us, as Satan did Joshua in Zechariah chapter 3, in the judgment. Satan was the accuser.
And our accuser, our prosecutor, is trying to get some loophole. Therefore, let us heed those messages that the Spirit has brought with conviction to our souls. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy word. We thank Thee for the examples, positive in Jesus Christ, negative in those who allow Satan to come in, that the Scriptures bring to us. And we pray that in each of our experiences, Thy guiding Spirit, Thy illuminating word, Thy sustaining grace might keep us until victory is won through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.